Welcome to Tony Broom Ministries. The following message is from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 8. The title is, A Tall Order to Fill.
This man went into a restaurant, and the waitress comes up to him, and he orders 4 eggs, 3 pieces of bacon, 2 sausages, and 1 pancake. And the waitress smiles and says, That's a tall order to fill. Oh, don't worry about that, the man says. This is my wife, and she eats about like I do. Reminds me of Elijah. He gets ready to go to heaven, and Elisha keeps following around right behind him. He finally asks him, What do you want from me? I want a double portion of your spirit, Elisha said. Well, that's a mighty tall order to fill, we might say. But if you see me when I'm taken from you, it'll happen, he said. You better believe that Elisha had his eyes right on Elijah, and he didn't allow anything to get in the way of his miracle. That's the way we have to be. We have to have our eyes right on the Lord all the time, no matter what's going on around us. Our look at the first 8 verses of Isaiah chapter 42 has God the Father introducing us to his special servant. Not just any servant, but the servant. The servant, the son. We know him as Jesus. He would be the only one who would fulfill and satisfy all the longings of the soul of the need of mankind. Introduction to the Son is in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1. Introduction to the servant son. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. God promises that this is a special one who he would send, not just another prophet, not just another teacher. He is the one who would be sent to be the one who would be this special servant, the one who I send, the one who I uphold. You better believe that God protected his son and God upheld him. God watched over him. Herod tried to kill him when he was just a little baby. But God told Joseph, you rise and take the mother and the child and flee into Egypt. God watched over that little baby. And he watched over his son the whole time he was here on earth. He allowed the things to happen to him that were supposed to happen to him, but nothing more. This is the one that I uphold, mine elect, my chosen one, in whom my soul delighteth. Several times when Jesus was on earth, the voice came from God from heaven. It said, This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. He is the one who would fill that tall order. A tall order to fill. Jesus could fill the order. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. God said, I will put my spirit upon him. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. No wonder there's nobody like him. Even the Pharisees and Sadducees had to admit, no man spake like this man. He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God said, I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. How dare you talk about the Gentiles? You got to talk about the Jews. You got to talk about special people. You got to talk about rich church folks. You got to talk about people who have big churches. You can't talk about these small churches where the Spirit of God moves and where people are still getting saved and sanctified and baptized in the Holy Ghost. You got to talk about these big people in town. No, God said, I put my Spirit upon him and he will bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. We're introduced to this wonderful person who would fill this tall order. And he had an assignment like nobody else had. Nobody else could do it. It's like that sealed book in Revelation chapter 5. Nobody else could open the book. Nobody could even look at it. They couldn't even touch it. They could not open it. They couldn't have anything to do with it. And search was made in heaven and earth, the sea and under the earth and everywhere. And nobody was found worthy. And then the lion of the tribe of Judah, the one who was the lamb that was slain, in the midst of the throne. He comes and he not only looks at the book, But he has the audacity, if you will, to go right there in the Father's presence, takes the book out of the Father's hand and opens it and lets loose all those seals on the earth. And it's coming to pass one of these days. No, the coronavirus is not the tribulation. All this pandemic that's going on, it's not the tribulation. You know how I know? Because we're still here. And when Jesus gets ready for that to happen, he'll come and get us and take us out of this wicked world. We're still here. So this is not it. It may be close to it. It may be a setup for it, but it's not it. Because when it comes, the Antichrist will come, and you don't want to be here then. You don't have to worry about being here then. This special servant that God is talking about will bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. If you think about the wonderful things that Jesus did, this servant of God, this son of God, in order to think about the things he did, we need to talk about what he will not do. What he will not do, verses 2 through 4. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. I've heard preachers read this verse, they get a hold to it, and all of a sudden they'd start talking like this. And you say, what in the world's wrong with him? And he'd say, well, you know, it says right there in Isaiah that he would not cry nor lift up his voice, cause his voice to be heard in the street. Now I'm saying, come on, man, that's not what it's talking about. It's not mean that Jesus was turning into some faggo or some weirdo or some sissified person. He was a man's man. When it was talking about he would not cry, well, he cried like we cry. He certainly wept. That's the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. So it's not talking about crying like that. He will not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. In other words, he didn't come to push himself, to be a pushover on nobody. That's what it's talking about. He would not come here to push his own agenda. He even said, I did not come here to do my own will, but I came to do the Father's will who sent me. And that's why Jesus came. He didn't come to be his own star, to be his own boss, even to speak his own words. He came to do what the Father said. He will not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. Jesus didn't come for a demonstration. He didn't come to blow horns and march and cause trouble. He didn't come to overthrow the government. They thought he was going to. Some people thought, here's our king. He'll take care of everything. He'll overthrow the Roman government. He'll put Israel back in place. But Israel could not be put back in place then. They wouldn't even receive the Messiah, much less listen to him enough to be king. He didn't come for that. He came to not to rule the world then, but he came to save the world. One person at a time, 10 people at a time, 100 people at a time, multitude at a time, whatever it was. He didn't come to do all of what people thought he would do the first time, but he came to do much more than they ever thought he would, and that's what he did. He came to born people again. He came to save people. He came to change lives, and not just change the government. He came to change creation, make new creations out of men and women and boys and girls. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. This bruised reed, he didn't come to break a bruised reed. Why? It's already bruised. He didn't come to break things that are already broken. And that's what so many people try to do. Political things, laws that are made. It's nothing but to break things that are already broken. What good is it to break things that are already broken? Why don't you do what you can to fix things that are broken? That's what this special servant son came to do. He came to fix things that are broken, not break things that are already broken. The bruised reed would he not break. The smoking flax he would not quench. It's already smoldering. He didn't come to just stamp it out and put it out. It's already about to go out. He came to blaze a fire, not to quench the smoking flax. He came to bring victory and judgment unto truth. He was the only truth. They thought that they knew the truth. They tried to find truth in Pharisaical religion. They tried to find truth in elders, ceremonial rituals, and all that. They tried to find truth in Caesar. They tried to find truth in all these other things, but they never could find it. Jesus is the only truth. In fact, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Now we're talking about what he will not do. He will not fail. And the song says, Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. You might as well get thee behind me, Satan. You cannot prevail, because Jesus never fails. He will not fail. He will not be discouraged. Now, that doesn't mean that he never got discouraged. It just simply means that he would not allow anything to keep him from fulfilling God's will and purpose for his life. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth. That is what he came to do, and that is what he will do. He has already fulfilled a lot of it, and what he has not fulfilled will be fulfilled. He came to set judgment in the earth. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will rule this world with a rod of iron. He will rule and reign on David's throne in Jerusalem, and he came to set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. There are people in this world who are seeking and searching for answers, and God is their only answer, and the isles will wait for his law. Now, in verse 5, we have a disclaimer of the qualifier. When I worked at a radio station, we had what we call a disclaimer, because if the basketball came on at 12 o'clock, you had to take off the religious program, or at least allow them to have a floating hour where they would be broadcast sometime else, because nothing takes away the ball game. They got to have the ball game. They got to drink their beer. They got to do all this. No, you certainly can't talk about Jesus during that time. You got to have the ball game. So you have to have a disclaimer that comes on and says, the truth hour will not be broadcast at this time because of the ball game. And that's just an example. It could be anything. A disclaimer says something that usually happens now will not happen now, but it'll happen some other time. A disclaimer is a very important announcement. The disclaimer says that the announcement is coming at 5 o'clock Eastern this afternoon, and the governor shall talk to all the state, and we're going to broadcast it. That would be a disclaimer. So this is a disclaimer of the qualifier in verse 5. Thus saith God the Lord. Now that's the qualifier. If there's anybody who is qualified to say anything and have any authority to tell you something, it's God the Lord. Thus says God the Lord. He that created the heavens and stretched them out. He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it. This is the qualifier. This is God talking. I'm the one who created the heavens. I stretched it out. I'm the one who made the earth. I stretched it out. He that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. This is the qualifier. This is the one, and he has to make this qualification, because what he tells you about this servant son, the mission and what he came to do, you could say, well, I don't believe it. I don't believe this special person. I don't believe what he came to do. God says, I've got to make this distinction. I've got to make this qualification. This is not just coming from another prophet. This is not just coming from another religion. This is not just coming from someone who says, well, you know, everybody has to have their religion, and everybody has to have freedom of religion, and everybody has to have freedom of choice. God says, no, I am the Lord. There is none else. I am God, and there is no other beside me. He said, I'm the one who created heaven. I'm the one who created the earth. I'm the one who made all this. The mission of the servant son, verses 6 and 7. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people. I'm the one who called you. He called all of us, but he called Jesus as this righteous servant. I have called you in righteousness. I will hold your hand. God protected him. I'm the one who watches over you. I'm the one who protects you. I'm the one who will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you for a covenant of the people. Now, they knew what the old covenant was, but this is talking about the new covenant. I will give you for a new covenant. This is a new covenant that we're under right now, the covenant of mercy and grace. I will give you for a covenant of the people. I will not just get you to come and make a covenant. Jesus didn't come to make a covenant. He said, I will give you as the covenant. I will give you for a covenant of the people. Jesus came not just to point us to the sacrifice, but he came as the sacrifice. He became our sickness. He became our sin. He is a sacrifice. He is the new covenant. I will give you for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to point to the Gentiles, to bring light out of darkness, to bring people who you would never have thought to be saved, to bring them into the family and the kingdom of God, to open the blind eyes. That's what Jesus came to do. And it's thrilling when you can find your condition in God's word. He promises he's going to do something about it. I don't know when. And it happened yesterday. When it happened today, it'll happen tomorrow. Whenever it happens, God knows what he's doing. I'm just sitting back here in the Holy Ghost saddle and rocking chair and letting Jesus ride me along. He says he's going to open the blind eyes. That's him. He made that declaration. It's up to him to do it. To bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Jesus said, I was sick. I was in prison and you came to me and you saw me. You visited me and you helped me when I was in prison. Tony Broom got to worrying about that thing and not worrying about it, but thinking about it. And I said, Lord, I'm always one of those, you do the crime, you pay the time. I've always said that. And then you come along here in Matthew and said, you come to the prison house, you seek me. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was sick and in prison, you came and saw me. Lord, how does this come together? I believe that the criminal ought to be punished. You're the one who created capital punishment. Now you say we ought to go see those in prison. And the Lord brought it to me just as plain as day. There are many in prison, like the Apostle Paul, who never did anything wrong. There are some in prison, there are some even who are suffering and dying, being killed as Christians for their faith. They haven't done anything wrong. He was not talking about going and being soft on the criminal and letting them out. And that's what people are doing now. All these criminals in prison, they might be getting the virus. We're going to let them out. Well, you fool, you let them out and give it to everybody else. What in the world are you doing? When he's talking about bringing those out of the prisoners, out of the prison house, he's not just talking about the physical prison house. Certainly he's talking about that. He's talking about those that are in sin, bringing them out of sin, out of the prison that they're in, being bound. If you take a man that is bound in sin and you really get him born again, you might as well let him out of prison because he's not going to kill anymore. He's not going to steal anymore. He's not going to rob anymore. He's not going to rape anymore. Why? Because he's a new creature in Christ. The old things are passed away. All things have become new. If you're really born again, you're not going to do wrong. Not just getting brownie points. Everybody in prison will go to church because they want to get points. But that's not the real reason. You got to go for the right reason. Isaiah chapter 61 and Luke chapter 14 verses 18 and 19, they say the same thing that it says here. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And we get that backwards sometime and said, oh, I'm anointed because the Spirit's upon me. He said, no, the Spirit's upon me because I'm anointed. You're already anointed first, and then the Spirit comes upon you. Everyone who is born again is anointed. The Spirit comes upon you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. He says the same thing here that he said in Isaiah 61 and Isaiah 42. Recovering of sight to the blind. The same thing it says here, it says in both places. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. Recovering of sight to the blind, that set at liberty those who are bruised. And then we see the equality of duality plus the life of the Spirit. Now, what's this equality of duality? That means the Father and the Son are equal. They're different persons, but they're equally God. Equality of duality plus the life of the Spirit. Verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Christ is the only one who shares in the Father's eternal glory. But we get in on that glory, at least in a measure, by knowing God through Christ. The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 22, "So even though God will not share his glory with another, he shares that glory, the eternal glory, with the Son. That's the glory that I had with you before the world was," Jesus said. And now he said, "I've given them the glory." We have that glory. How is this possible? What is that glory? Better yet, who is that glory? The Holy Spirit of God. By having him, we have the glory of God. Without him, there would be no life. It would indeed be like giving your praise to graven images. God said, "I will not give my praise to graven images." Without the Spirit of God, that's all it is, just an image, just a dead religion. Instead of a soul on fire salvation testimony, we would only have a traditional dead church mice religion. Truly, one having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. For Jesus to come and be born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem's manger. Just think about it. He grew up as one of us, lived in the world he created. He was in the world was made by him, the world knew him not. He came to his own received him not. He lived a life without sin, doing all the great miracles and works that he did. In the face of all the opposition, contradiction, all the blasphemy, all everything that went against him, only to die on a cruel, rugged cross after suffering, agony, pain, ridicule, and torture, to not be believed by many, even after they had seen him rise from the dead, shown himself to his followers by many infallible proofs, to have a name so great as to be proclaimed as the only name whereby we can be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And the one who is not only the way to God and to heaven, but he is the truth and the life. This indeed is a tall order to fill, but Jesus more than filled it. In fact, the order he filled and foot the bill. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us. He who knew no sin became sin so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
You have been listening to a message from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 8, entitled, "A Tall Order to Fill." Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know him as your Lord today. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.